You ever get the feeling that everything in America is completely f***ed up?
Now, they're saying I should think stuff like this. They're saying
something is wrong with me.
Practice.
Welcome to Planet welcome to Positive Cynicism. It's been a few weeks. I know schedules have been crazy with some traveling and trying to line up guest hosts for these episodes, because I really wanted to hit on some of the latest newsworthy stories, the NFL protests and Harvey Weinstein and whatnot. But those are stories that, like I said, I don't want to have an echo chamber podcast where it's just me throwing out my opinion. I want to have discussion and get people who have different opinions or different views, which I don't really think there's anybody that has a different view on Harvey Weinstein, but the NFL protest and whatnot, definitely wanted to, I tried to get someone else on and schedules just did not work out. But with all that said, we are back. We're jumping on the podcast bandwagon of doing a Halloween show during October. And when I thought of the idea, there was only one person I thought of to bring on is an old friend who I've known for way, way longer than I think either of us wants to admit at this point. And that's an old friend from college, Jeff Maher. We worked together at a TV station and did a old show called video show called Planet Boom, which is much like on Planet Boom, as in this show, was filled with a lot of inside references that no one else got. So, Jeff, how are you?
Good.
How is Chicago? Very good.
Cold and rainy. It feels just like Halloween around here.
Yeah, everybody's upset. The Cubs lost, and
only
106 years to go for the next championship.
Right. Well, we had a good run.
Hey, at least you always have last year. So I know, like I said, I've known Jeff since college. He has always been a huge Halloween fan, not just the season, but also the movie, and has been a big horror fan. So I wanted to reach out to him, and we are recording this on Sunday the 22nd, and I know Jeff just got back from a family trip to Cedar Point, Ohio, the theme park out there, for their Halloween festivities. So let's start there. Jeff, how was Cedar Point?
It was really good. They basically turned the whole park into a Halloween park, which I'm still hoping that someday a year-round spooky, something kind of like in the Scooby-Doo movie, kind of haunted amusement park, which doesn't seem to exist.
It would have to be shut down, wouldn't it? So there'd be no point in going to a shut down theme park.
With ulterior motives. It was really very nice weather. The downside of that was it was very, very crowded. Mm-hmm. We waited like over 2 hours for a mediocre ride. But it was a lot of fun, great ambiance. One of the main reasons we went down there, you probably heard them on several travel channel shows or in several haunted houses or amusement parks, the Midnight Syndicate. They did a live show, which they did one back in 2014, and this is their second set of live shows, and went out there to see that, and that was a whole lot of fun as well. And that just added to the whole ambiance, the set, and they have a little story that goes with the show, and it was just a lot of fun, good way to spend the Halloween season.
All right, nice. Just real quick, Jeff, your mic is kind of cutting in and out of time, so I don't know what you heard on, but if you can stabilize your mic, it might help us a little bit. But, no, that's cool. Last night, while you were at Cedar Point, I was at Warner Brothers Studio doing their Halloween tour, which It was the first year that they've done something, I guess, on this scale, where they had kind of like what Universal does and Disney, where they had mazes and added some frights to their backlot tour. It was really good. I mean, I called it the Festival of Frights. Hey, it was successful. Let's cash in as much as we can. Because they had a VR experience for called Floating or Float or in the Sewers or something like that. And then they had the house from It that you could walk through and, you know, be scared as Pennywise jumps out at you and whatnot. And they had a really good one for The Conjuring. I don't know if you're familiar with those movies.
Oh, yeah.
But that was probably one of the best haunted house maze type things that I've seen. So
nice.
So hopefully,
very cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice. For the amount of stuff there, it was a little pricey, but it was also good where we got to do everything. Like, the crowd was not too bad. And hopefully this gives them something as a jumping off point to grow in the future and bring in more Warner Brother products like Gremlins or Beetlejuice to make a big, to kind of compete with Universal. So
yeah,
it was good. Nice. Yeah. So let's jump right in with Halloween. And I guess the obvious first question is, why Halloween? What separates Halloween as your favorite holiday from all the others?
You know, I've been trying to figure this out for years. Why? Excuse me. Why I get into this? You know, because everybody's like, "Oh, you must love Christmas too." And it's like, "What? Christmas is nice. I like Christmas, but it just—I don't know. It doesn't have the feeling. Mostly,
it's
the ambiance and kind of be whoever you kind of want to be. You can be something different. You know, the whole, I've always been into horror movies and going to haunted houses since I was a kid. And, you know, my mom isn't into any of those, and I don't think my dad was ever into any of those. So I don't know where I inherited that from. But just, you know, it's, you know, so many things tying together. You got the weather, and you got the, you know, the different colored lights, and you got the spookiness of it, and you know, the mystery of it.
Yeah.
Now, how about
for me? I think that's it.
Okay, for me, I know I loved Halloween, and part of it was the dressing up, the costumes. My grandma would always make, for several years, made my costumes for me, which was something, you know, you can come up with an original idea, or actually not original, but have to create it. Does the costuming come into play with you? Like,
it used to. And it does, like, with my kids now. I know, like, my sister made me, like, a Grim Reaper cloak type thing, you know, something like the guy in Scream wears. And I pretty much wear that every year. And I just kind of switch out what I wear on my face, whether it's, you know, face paint, or if I wear a mask, I'll switch out the mask. One year I just put on a hockey mask and walk around with it. I was just talking to somebody the other day. I haven't gone out and actually bought a costume or put together a different costume.
Yeah.
I think in the past it's always been just time hasn't worked in my favor for that, mm-hmm. for the most part. So this Reaper cloak thing, it kind of allows me to kind of use that as a jumping spot and kind of change that one out. But I probably, you know, I've been trying to change it up too and do something different. And so maybe, you know, that my kids are getting older and a little bit more independent, maybe that's something I can get back into.
Now, do your kids take after you in their obsession with Halloween?
Both. Especially my daughter is afraid of her own shadow. They have these things at Cedar Point. You can buy these blinking necklaces of, I think it's Frankenstein. And if the ghouls saw you wearing this necklace, they weren't supposed to scare you.
So,
of course, she wanted one, so we got her. And by the way, she's 13, so it's not like she's, you know, four or anything like that.
But and I tried to explain it. It's just people like me. And she told me that scares her more. Knowing that it's regular people, you know, it could be anybody, I guess. My son's a little bit back and forth. We went through this haunt called Blood on the Bayou, and he just loved it. He loved all the guys jumping out and being scary and stuff like that. But he doesn't like when I watch horror movies. Once in a while, I'll let him kind of sit in there, but he doesn't like when people get hurt. And he is 10. So I think they both really like Halloween, but they haven't quite gotten to the extreme that I've gotten to yet.
Okay. It'll be interesting. Yeah, and I mean, I think 10 years old is probably a little young for... Which, this whenever I have this thought, it always reminds me, or makes me realize that I am getting old, because I remember watching, you know, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, Hellraiser, all when I was 10, 13 years old. And now, like when It came out a couple months ago, I was at a friend's party, and there was an 8-year-old kid there, 8 to 10-year-old kid, and he was asking me, he's like, oh, have you seen It? Yeah, I really want to see it. And I'm like, you're way too young. Why are you watching these movies? You should where are your parents at? You should not be watching movies like this.
But, right.
But then I'm like, but I did the same thing. So who am I to say? And I think I turned out somewhat all right.
But yeah, I know my mom in the past. She didn't like me watching the movies, and when the Nightmare on Elm Street movies were becoming really popular back in like 1987, this one, Part 3 came out. That's when I really got into Freddy. And I think that kind of scared her a little bit. She thought, my son loves this character, so he's going to try and emulate him. And I think, you know, she's glad that, you know, 30 years later, I haven't killed anyone. Besides putting on, you know, the sweater and a mask and scaring people in haunted houses, that's pretty much as far as I've gotten. So I think it's all, probably a lot of it is probably how your mind works, and, you know.
Yeah, and that's...
I'm doing that differently.
So. Yeah, and I mean, that's a whole other discussion probably for a different show, but I've always used the, you know, the defense that, well, I think it was the line from Scream, movies don't make people kill. It just makes killers more creative, or whatever the quote is. I think people are predestined. Or I don't think people are going to watch a movie and then be like, "Oh, well, this looks like a good idea. I'm going to go out and do it." I think there has to be something there to begin with.
Exactly. But again, I mean, look at all the, you know, like Jeffrey Dahmer, and, you know, that none of his killings were.
And I think, but now again, as I get older, I kind of waver on that thought, where because I see the stuff that's coming out now, and I don't know. To me, it's a lot different than the horror films that we grew up with, which were different than the horror films, you know, previously. Because you look back at, you know, like the Universal Monster Collection of Dracula, Frankenstein, Wolfman. And those, I mean, you watch them today, and they're pretty tame by comparison.
Right.
And then you watch, you know, the stuff we grew up with, Halloween, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, and they're a little bit more gory, but it wasn't, I don't think they were too extreme. They're, you know, and maybe I'm misremembering because I have not watched them in several years, but then you look at stuff like the Saw movies and the Eli Roth films, where this, you know, genre of torture porn comes in to where there's very little left to the imagination anymore. So I don't know if that has, you know, a different effect on the psyche of people watching today, or, you know, if people can still separate and say, it's just a movie.
Right.
Your thoughts?
I would hope that it's, you know, it's the same with, like, action movies and stuff. Like, if you, you know, action movies from way back then were a lot more tame now. And I think it's just, you know, this generation, you know, needs more stimulation. Mm-hmm. So
I think that might be part of why these movies nowadays are so crazy. I mean, you look at like Fast and the Furious, and it's like nonstop. They don't stop for
plot, yeah,
plot, character development, and you know, I can't remember what I was watching, but I was watching something with my daughter not too long ago, and she was just bored to tears, and it was like, you kind of need to know the characters before you kill them. Otherwise, you don't care that you kill them.
Right.
And I think that's the thing with a lot of these newer movies, is you don't know the characters much.
Even with...
That was my biggest complaint about the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, is, you know, I can't even remember any of their names besides Nancy, and I don't think it was Tina or, you know, I think her boyfriend was something else, but it wasn't that. I remember Nancy's because that was her name in the original, but I didn't care much about those characters. They were just kind of generic, and I even remember saying that it felt like a generic horror movie, whereas the stuff we grew up on, you know, there were generic movies, but you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, and Halloween, those were kind of like special events. They weren't just the same old thing that was coming out. And maybe some of the sequels kind of fell into that genericness of it, but
yeah.
And then with Frankenstein too, you know, they had several movies of Frankenstein, and I'm wondering if, you know, kids from that generation felt the same way. Like, you know, why do they keep making these Frankenstein movies, you know, when he died in the first one, or, you know.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point, because I know, like, with all the Saw movies, and even not even just in the horror genre, but in films in general today, it's sequel after sequel, and then reboot, and then sequel after that, and we're like, why do we have so many sequels? But looking back at, you know, movies we grew up on, you know, there were, what, 9 Friday the 13th, 7 Nightmare on Elm Streets, 5 Halloweens, 7 Police Academies. It's not like sequels didn't exist, but I think now it's just that it's more of the sequels are the major films. Like, you know, when Nightmare on Elm Street 5 came out, or Friday the 13th Part 6, like, they got big releases, but they weren't, like, the top movie of the weekend.
Right, right.
Whereas now...
Whereas every single Saw has been a blockbuster. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's weird. It's interesting to me to think of, to try to look at the horror genre, and I think another aspect of horror's popularity and why there are so many sequels and everything that comes out is that you can make a horror film for a relatively low budget and easily recoup that. Whereas most of your action movies today are like $200 million budgets, and then you can do a Conjuring, or I'm sure Jigsaw, the latest Saw movie, which comes out next week, probably costs, you know, at most 30 to 40 million.
Right.
And even
all the money spent on the props. Right.
Yeah. And I mean, like, even this weekend, the number one movie is Boo, Madea Halloween 2, which they said cost 25 million and made, I think, 27 million in its opening weekend. So it's if you're a studio looking for a cheap investment with a pretty solid return, you go the horror route.
Yeah. I mean, even back when, like, the Friday the 13th movies were popular, I was reading that Crystal Lake Memories, which is behind the scenes of pretty much the entire series.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time that, you know, we've been talking about how every single movie, they put less and less money into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of why Jason Takes Manhattan really wasn't part of the movie hardly at all.
Yeah, that one should have been called Jason Takes a Cruise, but...
Exactly! And, so, you know, I guess they kind of followed that blueprint even back then. You know, the more popular the movie, the less money they're going to spend on the next one, because, you know, they see a higher return.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the movie industry is pretty interesting overall, but yeah, the success, I think it's, you know, over the last 10 years, probably longer than that, I did not do my research like I should have, but we've seen the resurgence in the horror films, because I would say from you know, Scream back in 96, 97?
Yeah,
Kind of kicked off a resurgence that lasted probably through the early 2000s. And then until the Saw movies came along, probably had another dip in popularity. But since then, horror seems to be a genre that is pretty consistent. And especially around Halloween in October, you're going to get a new installment of the films. But why, I guess, you know, we've kind of discussed our feelings on horror films, but why do you think, is there a reason other than just because of Halloween and the season? Is there something that draws people into horror films?
I'm not like a psych major or anything, so I don't know exactly if they have any, you know.
It's okay. This is the internet. You can pretend to be a professional.
But we're interviewed with
Wes Craven and Stephen King and
John Carpenter,
and a lot of them, you know, they seem to agree that, you know, the horror film is like a release of, you know, of that inner killer in yourself, or, you know,
for lack of a better word.
You know, it's a release of any pent-up built up rage that you may be having.
Where
instead of doing a murder or something, you're going to watch this movie and that will
take care of,
I guess, you know, part of it. So I don't know, maybe people just have that subconscious need to kind of exercise their demons by watching these movies. I just find them a lot of fun. I like getting freaked out.
Maybe
a lot of people feel the need to be scared. I mean, like one of the things yesterday, just seeing the huge lines in front of the haunted houses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think people just feel the need to be just to be scared for a while. But it's safe scared with all the real things that scare us in the world.
No, yeah.
Terrorists, and then we got, you know, homegrown terrorists and stuff that is really scary, and then you have a horror movie where you're safe for an hour and a half and you can go see these and, you know, get scared, but you know that, and that's what I like to tell my daughters, like, you know it's fake, you can go ahead and let yourself get scared, and you know when it's over that it's over and that the person in the movie is not real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, there's always that argument that, you know, stuff like that could really happen, but, you know, something like The Conjuring probably isn't going to happen.
At least not to most people.
So I guess the more outrageous the movie is, the safer you are. I guess it's the short version.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think, you know, from my perspective, it is, I think that wanting to be scared, that adrenaline rush that comes with that, and I know, you know, I was really into horror films as a kid, but as I've gotten older, I've kind of gotten out of that phase. Like, I don't like to be scared as much. So, I don't know. I'm sure that I'm going to say that probably has some aspect of it. And it also is, like you said, it's a way, you know, maybe for people to let out frustration, or, you know, you can live vicariously through these characters and be like, oh, you know, the annoying friend is getting killed. Man, I've always wanted to kill my annoying friend, but I can't, because in reality that's a bad thing. But I can watch this person die on screen and get a little bit of, you know, just use my imagination that, you know, this is happening. And then hopefully it doesn't go any further than that. And you walk out of the theater and realize, okay, movie's over. Let's get back to reality. But, and it, like you said, it is interesting that, you know, you know me, I'm a huge Alice Cooper fan, and he made comments like back in the 90s or so that the stuff that he was doing in the 70s that freaked everybody out and scared parents didn't work anymore, because you could turn on CNN, you could turn on the news and see much worse than what he was doing.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, we live in that in the society now where, yeah, you never know when the next mass shooting or the next terrorist attack or anything is going to happen. So maybe being scared by something that is fake is actually a better feeling than, you know, having to turn on the news and be scared.
Right.
So. Yeah. But, I don't know. It's an interesting discussion for me. Or something to think about in regards to why horror is so popular. Because, like you said, with Cedar Point, the lines were long. I've been to Universal Horror Nights a couple times where, yeah, you know, lines are like 2-3 hours long just to walk through to get scared. Like, why do you put yourself through that that feeling and spend the time just standing in line to get there?
Right. It's funny you were talking about that. Wanting to get scared. So at my work, most of the time when I'm working, my back is to my door. And I can't see people coming up to me a lot of times
until they say, "Hey, Jeff."
And it scares the hell out of me.
I jump 20 feet in the air.
And, you know, one of the guys from work used to talk to me about, because he's usually the one to scare me. And he says, "It's so funny that you're in the horror and you go to haunted houses and see all the scary movies, yet you hate when I scare you."
Unintentionally.
And, it probably has a lot to do with, at least when I go to the haunted houses, I'm expecting to get scared. Whereas if I'm just sitting at my desk, I'm not. And it's kind of like real life. You're not, you know, when you go out of a house, you're not expecting something bad to happen. Mm-hmm. But when you go to a movie, you know, there's going to be some mass killer out there, you know, looking at people and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's definitely, I think the expectation of the feeling of being scared is definitely better to prepare yourself than, you know, just having someone come up behind you and tap you on the shoulder type thing. Yeah, interesting. So we've hit on several films already, but what have been, you know, knowing you, I know you're a huge Halloween fan. I don't know if you still have your Michael Myers costume.
I've just upgraded.
Oh, okay.
I've gotten a little bigger since then, so I had to move up a size. but I do still have it. I do.
Okay. But, yeah, you mentioned Nightmare on Elm Street 3 being kind of like your, sounded like that was like your jumping point into horror films. What films do you consider to be like some of the best or your favorites?
Actually, one that's not a typical horror movie. One of my favorite horror movies is Poltergeist, and I think the scariest part of that is kind of the unknown. Mm-hmm. You don't really see the beast that has abducted Carol Ann, and then they have the second movie, which you have the character of King, and they kind of put a face to the beast, and that made him a little bit less scary. But Julian Beck, who played the character, he kind of made it scary in his own, so that kind of was successful. But the thing that did scare me about the first was, you know, the unknown, and it's like, you know, the tree coming alive to get the boy, and you know, the I liked it, and it was tons of character development. You really cared about the family, so when things bad were happening to them, you were, you know, you didn't want the tree to suck the little kid in, you wanted, you know.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I remember being freaked out by Poltergeist, like when the clown comes alive,
right.
The dummy doll. I had a ventriloquist dummy as a kid.
Oh, God.
And I remember after seeing that movie, that dummy went back in its case and up in the upstairs closet, never to be seen again, because I was not taking any chances that it was going to come to life and kill me. But it's a movie I have not watched probably in 30 years, because I don't know how it's going to hold up. So I don't know if you've watched it recently. Do you think it's...
Well, here's the thing. A lot of time when I'm watching these movies, like I was watching Fright Night a couple weeks ago, and it probably doesn't hold up. I think a lot of times when I'm watching these movies, I'm watching them with rose-colored glasses.
Right.
I'm remembering the first time I saw these movies. So I think for me,
it's harder for me, and maybe that's why I like them so much, is it's hard for me to kind of step back and remember that these movies are like 35, 40 years old, and that, yeah, maybe they haven't aged so well. You know, people say, you know, why did they stay in the house after the first incident, you know?
Well, you know, they had a mortgage.
Yeah, at least you said the house is clean. Why wouldn't you stay, right? Right. But I don't know. I thought it did just because it could still happen. And then, you know, Insidious came out, and that was kind of a very similar premise, mm-hmm. you know, dealing with the other side. And then the Poltergeist remake came out, and I didn't think it was half as good as Insidious was as paying tribute to the Poltergeist. So,
I think it holds up, but if you're looking at it going, this movie from 1982,
you know, maybe it wouldn't, maybe for somebody from a younger generation.
Because, like, my daughter,
I was watching Exorcist once, and she saw part of it, and she was laughing at it. She thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And it's
like,
I guess if you're not thinking of the psychological aspect of it, you know, that's the most horrifying part. You're thinking about, you know, how would you feel if your daughter got abducted and you knew she was somewhere in the house and it was on another plane that you've never ever had to deal with before? To me, that's, you know, I'm kind of looking at it from another angle as an adult. You know, when I was a kid, it was just a ghost story. Now as an adult, I'm like, man, what if my kids, that happened to them, you know?
Right.
What if my kid started acting weird and was possessed? I mean, I kind of saw it from the mother's angle this time. And it was kind of almost scarier seeing it from that end of things.
Yeah. And you make a good point, too. You talk about the unknown. And I know, you know, one of the things that, one of the reasons I think the movie Jaws works so well is you don't see the shark that much because the shark didn't work. And even the first Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy is rarely seen, and he's more of this mysterious figure, which I think makes him scarier. And then obviously as the movies went on and became popular, and he became more and more the focus, and he became like a stand-up comedian at times,
where
it lessens the impact, but I mean, it's also...
They became more action movies than they were horror.
Yeah.
More fantasy than horror. Even the killing scenes, you know, the scenes were more fantasy than they were horror, whereas, you know, the original Freddy gets you in a dark, scary alley that exists in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And in part 6, the kid's in a video game fighting Freddy. So, I mean, it's very... Yeah, it took a turn kind of for the worse. I still find them entertaining, but as far as scare factor, definitely this first movie is still very scary, I think.
Yeah. And same way, Friday the 13th and some other. Yeah, I think, like I said, I've always said the movie 7, which, you know, a lot of people probably don't consider as a horror film, but does, I think, walks the fine line between horror and thriller. The worst murder in that movie is the one that you don't see. It's the one that you have to put the pieces together to figure out what happened. And then, you know, I think the way your mind works is scarier than anything you see on screen.
Exactly.
You know, like same way with Blair Witch. I wasn't scared of that movie, didn't scare me, but then on the way home when I was thinking about it and letting my mind wander, then I'm like, oh, okay, now I'm a little freaked out. Like, I don't know if I want to, you know, be out alone by myself right now.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of taking this into a different direction than I was going, but yeah, I think that's where I think for me, the Saw movies don't work that well is because everything is laid out on screen. There's no, it's more of a gross out factor than a scare factor.
Right. Well, you're just kind of cringing the whole time going, ooh, yeah. You're not waiting for him to pop out at you, or you don't know when he's going to. Actually, I think
that the first Saw, there are a couple scenes that are like that.
Mm-hmm.
and that's why I do like the first Saw. It does, you know, kind of show a little bit too much, you know, less than your imagination. But there is a few scare factor scenes, like when they're flashing back to how some of the victims were abducted to be in his Saw maze. To me, that was the scariest part of the movie.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, there's a scene where the guy's taking the pictures to flash the light to see where the... I mean, I remember gripping the side of my chair when I was watching that part.
Yeah. Have you seen the new It movie?
Yes, yes.
And see, that's one that I didn't find... I don't even know if I would call it a horror film so much, because there isn't a lot of gore. But it was a... there were a few jump scares...
Right.
But yeah, it's, and I think that's probably what, I'm going to say, probably what helped make it a more popular film is that it did focus on character over gore.
Right. And it just goes to prove that maybe people do still, they still like character, judging by how well the film did, you know? Mm-hmm. Or it's still doing for that matter.
Right, yeah, it's unstoppable, and hopefully part two will live up to expectations.
Yeah, I read the book and I had seen the original miniseries, and I went in kind of, you know, cautiously optimistic that they were going to do a good job, and you know, I left there thinking, no, that was a really good movie. I don't know how scary it was as far as, like you said, jump scares, but to me, it was a really good movie, even without the horror aspect of it, because it was, you know, you felt for the kids. You remember what it was like when you were a kid and dealing with that. Especially, the kids were what our age were when we were, you know, that age. You know, in the 80s, and you know, they even had the Nightmare on Elm Street 5 on the marquee. It's like I remember that time. I was there. You know.
Yeah, and I think, I know they, I read some things too. I mean, I read the book in high school, so it's been a few years since I read it. I don't remember all the details, but apparently, like, Pennywise would use their fears against them. And in this movie, they kind of did the same thing, only instead of being, like, having Freddy Krueger come after them, it's just, you know, a zombie or some crazy person. But that's still, I think, more psychologically scarier than, you know, than torture or killing. It's
right
because
right.
Yeah, it's messes. If you mess with your mind, way more terrifying.
Right, right. And you talked about The Conjuring. I mean, I thought, you know, there were a lot of like really intense scenes, and I mean, how many people actually died in the movie? You know,
Yeah, I have not seen
it.
yeah, I'm trying to think, like, before It, I don't... I think probably, like, Saw 3 was the last recent horror film that I've seen. It was just...
Okay.
I don't... Yeah, like I said, as a kid, I loved them. Now, as an adult, like, I don't... I did go see... I remember when I had Movie Pass and was seeing a lot of movies and went Theater Jump, You're Next. I walked out.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah, I walked out after about 20 minutes. I was just like, I was kind of bored, and somebody had brought a newborn baby into the theater because parents were awesome.
Oh my gosh!
Oh, and I saw The Purge. You know, the first Purge, which yeah, it was an interesting concept, I thought, but
yeah, and it was pretty suspenseful.
Yeah, but I have not seen the sequel, so I don't know.
Neither have I.
How they've gone in terms of, you know, if they're like the Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, where they just kind of up the violence or
up the body count, yeah,
just to satisfy, but kind of rehash the same thing. I would kind of think so, because it seems like a pretty basic, simple plot that's going to be done.
Well, apparently they're doing a TV show now, so.
Oh, great.
I don't know where they could take it from there, but...
Wait, is it going to be a Netflix one where they're going to release it all in one day and then you can just binge and purge all at once?
Possibly.
Here all week, folks. Be sure to tip your windows. Yeah. So, I don't know, I'm kind of winding down here. Do you have any last thoughts on horror films or any recommendations for people who are having a Halloween party next weekend?
I always wanted to do, when I had a small party one year, and I always wanted to be like, you know, have it, like,
a movie playing in like each room that people can just like, you know, like stop by or put together like a greatest hits of movies and stuff.
I would say if you're gonna have like a whole, like actually have people over,
I would, you know, always go with the classics. You know, Halloween, the first one is always fun to watch. The second one's even fun to watch, too. Kind of gets a little silly after that. But Trick or Treat, I really liked.
No, is that the recent one or the awesome 80s version with Skippy from Family Ties?
I've seen the original,
the Skippy one, but I don't remember it much, if I liked it or not. So I haven't seen it since like way back in like mid-80s.
Mm-hmm.
But the newer one that came out, I think 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they're kind of I don't think they're related in any way, but
right. Yeah. But I
thought it was just a fun anthology movie. It's got a few stories. And it all kind of ties in. They all kind of tie in together. One of the things I love
about Halloween is the ambiance. I love when
places are decorated. I go back to my old neighborhood, which is in Old Irving Park in Chicago, and all the houses are decorated really cool, and kids are running up and down the street, and this looks like something out of a movie. And Trick or Treat definitely got that part right.
How I feel about Halloween.
So I really like that. And another one that was fun was Tales from Halloween. That was another anthology. That one kind of teeters on the gore factor, but there's some decent stories in that one as well.
Okay. There's one, you mentioned that, and there's a movie I saw a few years ago at when the theater's out here. It's I can't think of the name of it. It's Midnight Train something. Not Midnight Meat Train. This is a movie from like, I think the early 80s. It's an anthology. It was like three separate films. I think that.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm just having a brain freeze.
Yeah, they kind of tied them. They threw in some interstitials in between to type of like God and Satan on a train.
And there's a band playing the whole time.
Yes, and it's awesome. I can't remember the name of it, which is a great story to tell on a podcast, but it's Bull.
The listeners are yelling at us. The name is Bull.
Everybody's like, "What the hell are they talking about? This movie sounds so terrible." But yeah, it was awesome, and I know the musical performance is on YouTube if I could remember the movie. But yeah, it's I had never heard of it before seeing it, and I thought it was a good. At least two of the three stories were really good, but that doesn't help you listening at home. It's called. Just look up train movie anthology horror 80s, and I'm sure Google will help you out. Or go to IMDb and look up Richard Moll's. What's his name? Is that his name? Richard Moll? M-O-L-L?
Yeah.
Look up his filmology, find the one that sounds like what we're talking about, and go from there. But yeah, I think anthology movies, growing up, we had Twilight Zone, Tales from the Dark Side.
Yeah.
And I guess, was VHS an anthology film, like a recent?
I think it was. I've actually never seen any of them, but they seem to be one of those more like a torture porn type of thing. I don't know for sure, but that's what I had heard, so I haven't really searched for those.
Yeah, I don't know. I know our good friend Todd recommended SVHS, but I didn't see that one either. Oh, inside joke again that no one's going to get. So.
Same movie, just a little bit better quality. Right?
Exactly, yeah. Anyway.
Night Train to Terror.
Yes. That is the movie. Have you seen it?
I've seen bits and pieces of it. I haven't seen the whole movie.
Yeah, I don't know if
it's kind of hard to watch, but it is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we saw it in a theater, so you kind of have to sit there and watch the whole thing. You can't put it on pause or go do something else. So it was. I recommend it if you get the chance, if you could ever find it, or if a theater near you shows it at any point in time.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes even a bad horror movie is still a fun horror movie. You know, like Blood Diner's really bad, but it's still fun to watch, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, too, makes kind of a movie, because I love bad films, but I think there's a difference between bad and, like, good bad.
Right, you
can
right.
You know, like a movie like The Room, which is just so bad that it is kind of good, works differently than, I'm trying to think, like, one of the reasons I never really got into Mystery Science Theater that much is because a lot of those films I felt were just bad movies. Like, even with people making jokes over them, they're not very watchable. But yeah.
It also depends on how much time you have. I was kind of going through a bad movie phase probably about 15 years ago, where like I was watching pretty much anything because I had more time.
Yeah.
Now I'm older, I got kids, and you know, job is really busy. But kind of like if I watch a bad movie instead of a good movie, I kind of get upset. You know, like, oh man, I wasted the whole viewing on that when I could have been watching that instead.
Yeah, it's true. It's yeah. I think as we've gotten older ourselves, time is much more valuable to. You want to make sure you're watching something that is worth watching.
Right.
And that's probably why you know a lot of movies. Again, another subject for another podcast. But you know, a lot of movies and kids are on their phones texting each other the whole time. You know, they got money to burn. They got time on their hands. You know, if I can make it to actually see a movie in the theater, it's kind of a rare instance. So, top kick some of these kids for doing that.
Right.
But again,
if you got the time, you know, when you see something that's crappy, you kind of have, you know, you didn't waste any of your life on it because,
fuck, you weren't doing anything anyway.
All right. Well, before we go, what are your Halloween plans?
Our church has a comfort shoot on Friday.
Uh-huh. And we have our not-so-scary haunted house. So,
my early college years and all my high school years, I worked at a haunted house in the city of Chicago at a school. And, this is the first. Last year was the first time I actually had to design and put it together. The good thing is it didn't have to be too scary because it's for kids. But I'm going to be doing that again this year, and that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm hoping to catch some haunted houses, over the next couple days, and then on Halloween I decorate my house for Halloween. So I'm hoping to get some trick or treaters here and maybe take my kids around the neighborhood.
And of course, you know, in between,
I hope to watch as many old and new horror movies as possible. You know, just to kind of, you know, definitely watch Halloween 1 and 2. And, I just watched Nightmare on Elm Street recently, so I might have to hold off on that. Of course, we had a Friday the 13th in October, so I watched
part 3 a couple weeks ago.
But that's. That's my 2017 Halloween plans.
All right. Well, sounds good. Good. Thanks, Jeff, for being on the show this week. And
thanks for having me.
You're welcome. We'll try to have you back again when I know there are many more topics I have running through my head that you would be an expert on. So we'll try to get you back on at some point. Always, thank you for listening, and remember, you can find me on Twitter at Chad Smart. Jeff, do you have any social media presence you want to promote real quick?
We don't.
Okay.
I'm pretty much just on Facebook, and that's about it.
Perfect. All right, yes, you can find me on Twitter at ChatSmart. Be sure to listen to all the shows here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, jitterymonkey.com, and we will see you hopefully next week for another installment or whenever I can line up another guest host.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.